Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Tina S. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, March the 12th, 2026. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We were on page 24, the second paragraph out of There is a Solution. We're starting with the almost certain consequences that follow, reading through one paragraph, ending with keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. The reference number for yesterday, Wednesday, March the 11th, are the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,276, that's 23276, and the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,277, that's 23277. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Chris W. to read the 12 steps.
Hi there. Chris W., Chris with a K from Nashville, Tennessee. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Excuse me. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thanks so much, Chris. I forgot to tell you who the readers are today. So thank you, Chris, for the 12 steps. And Bev M. reading the 12 traditions. Bonnie B. reading the text today. Benita L. reading page 164. Marjo, our great backup. And newcomer greeter is Felicia S., and second hour host is Robin W. Sorry about that. Okay, Bev, can you please read the 12 traditions for us?
Good morning. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Bev M. in Wisconsin. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thanks so much, Bev M. Okay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 24, paragraph 2, and I will now ask Bonnie B. to start reading. Please read for us, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, Tina. Thanks for your service. Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B. from Florida, recovered by the grace of God today. So grateful, grateful beyond words. The almost certain consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. There is a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. Oh, wow, what a privilege to touch on this paragraph today, and I just can't wait to hear all the shares. You know, the first handful of chapters in this book, The Doctor's Opinion, Bill's Story, There's a Solution, More About Alcoholism, all of them drive home the fact of either I am or I'm not. Again, this for me is identifying either I got this thing or I don't have this thing. And when I look at this paragraph, my first thought is certain consequences. I have a DNA, and when I make certain choices, there are certain consequences. Now, maybe when I was a moderate eater, I could do some of the things that I can't do today. But when I do things today, being a hard eater, a true compulsive overeater, I am not free from the consequences. There will be consequences. And nothing is able to block that out. I have, you know, look at the word hazy. It's a dim, cloudy, vague, uncertain. That sentence that says, if these thoughts occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted. Supplanted, the definition is to uproot, to supply a substitute for, to supersede, especially by force, a different power. There, those thoughts, if they come, even for a moment, that if I pick that up, I'm going back down. If they come, they're replaced with that old threadbare idea that maybe I can handle it. And the reason I had that maybe I can handle it is because I used to be able to handle it. I mean, sort of. I think when I was a moderate and a heavy eater, When I look at page 31 that talks about all the different things I did, all of those things I did, they worked, sort of, until they didn't. And so that thought in my head that maybe I can do this has to be removed totally. I have to come to that place where I completely understand that I have no defense, none, zero against this. It talks about putting your hand on a hot stove, right? You do it once, you don't do it again. Not for this, not for me. Not for me. I react violently to poison ivy. I've been hospitalized twice for it. You couldn't convince me to go into the woods or to pet someone's pets. That idea will not be removed. This idea about maybe one day I can do this, gotta be mindful, gotta stay in the middle of it, because if I have this DNA, which I know I do, based upon my past experience, I will never be able to manage this on my own. If I don't pull God into this on a daily basis and throughout the course of the day, I don't have a chance. And so I think I'll pass with that, but I'm super excited to hear the rest of the shares. And once again, thanks for allowing me to be of service. Bonnie B. from Florida.
Thanks so much for getting us started, Bonnie. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you have shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back. And if you give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from, I can take some names. Who would like to share?
Kelly S.
Kelly.
Betty K. M.
Who M?
Betty
K. Betty what?
Betty Jean M.
Okay. Who else?
Nancy C.
Nancy C. Hey, Nancy. Who else? Got Kelly, Betty Jean, and Nancy. Great paragraph. Who would like to share?
Rivka R.
Hey, Rivka.
Monica T.
Monica T.
Sherry D.
Sound like somebody started to say the name.
Sherry D.
Kelly, Betty Jean. Sherry B or D? Okay, got Kelly, Betty Jean, Nancy, Rivka, Monica, and Sherry. Anybody else with this first group?
Sally A.
All right, Sally. Okay, let's stop there. All right. So we have Kelly S, Betty Jean M, Nancy C, Rivka R, Monica T, Sherry B, I think, or D, and Sally A. You want to start, Kelly, and then we'll be followed by Betty Jean.
Hey, good morning, Tina. Thank you so much for moderating. Good morning, guys. It's Kelly S, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thanks, Bonnie, for that beautiful opening. Oh, this paragraph is so powerful. Oh my God, it's just my story, right? The almost certain consequences that following taking another bite or another behavior, whatever, doesn't deter me. It makes me think about how all those slogans that I thought would work, you know, keeping it green, you know, my memories will keep me in check, you know. If you don't remember the last binge, you haven't had it. I remember every one of them practically, and that did not keep me. You know, one of our fellows here always has that saying I love, there's a bottom below the bottom we know, and I'll tell you, I have no real bottom when it comes to my compulsive overeating. And this whole part, you know, where it says, I mean, I knew the consequences. I kept going right back, you know, even knowing it. And it's like thinking this time would be different. And sometimes it would be different. And that made it almost worse because it would be different. And I'd be able to get my stuff together for 2 or 3 days. But then I'd be right back into it regardless of my patterns, right? And it says the complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps me from putting my hand on a hot stove. So I don't have that. But guess what? Guess what? I will have that in step 10. On page 84, you know, it tells me that, you know, we're going to recoil from a hot flame. So how do we get from page 24 to 84? The problem is I don't have good memories. I have good memories about my disease. The problem is I lack power. So how do I get to page 84 where I'm recoiling? I have to have this power that gives me that. It says we're going to react sanely and normally to food. Well, God's going to give me that. It doesn't matter what I remember. I lack power. So I have to get to page 84, right? Step 10, that's where neutrality is promised. And how do I do that? Somebody's unmuted, so if you could push star one, that would be great. I have to put the food down, and I have to get busy working these steps, because it also tells me in the last paragraph, I think, of more about alcoholism. At some point, we will lack the mental defense. I can never remember any of that, what it says. Once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense. Meaning, it doesn't matter what I remember. Doesn't matter the consequences. If I remember my last binge, I lack power, right? So it says his defense must come from a higher power. So the whole point of this whole program is putting the food down, working the steps, and getting this power so I'll be able to recoil. So I'm just telling you guys, it doesn't matter what you remember. There is a bottom below the bottom you know. So if you want this neutrality you're hearing on the lines and then you read in this book, put the food down, get busy working the steps, and know you've got to access power. And with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, Kelly S. from Oklahoma. All right. Betty Jean M., please tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Betty Jean, recovering in Connecticut. Good to be here with you all today. I put my hands on that hot stove so many times and recoiled every time, and then I went back to the stove. I had no mental defense, and I had a built-in forgetter that said, you can just do this one more time. You'll just take a little. It won't hurt this time. It won't be as bad. You lost some weight, so now you don't have to be on the diet. Now you can have a cheat day. My cheat day lasted 30 years. A doctor said to me, if you don't lose weight, you're going to be back in this hospital with a heart attack. And that's almost what happened. I went to the hospital at 2 in the morning in an ambulance. I had a procedure done on my heart. I would like to say that's when the light went off and I changed. But it wasn't. I went back to the hospital 4 more times and had 5 stents put in my heart. I kept going back to the stove. I had no power. And worse, I thought I did. I thought I was in control. I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I was taking action by being on a diet. Thank God, one of those medical providers I crossed paths with, one of them told me about OA, and that made all the difference. I came to my first meeting. Now my life has a line in it, before and after that meeting. And after has been a 180. I don't even go near the stove now. I know. I remember. I still don't have the mental defense, but God does. I have a higher power now that I consult on every decision I make. Every day I get up and say, lead me. Show me where you want me to go, what you want me to do. I will follow my higher power because when I drive, I take me someplace really bad. So I'm glad to be here with you all today, sharing my recovery and listening to all of yours. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Betty Jean M. from Connecticut. Next, we have Nancy C., followed by Rivka R. Please share, Nancy.
Hey, thanks, Tina, for taking the meeting. Thanks for all the amazing shares. This is Nancy C., recovered in Michigan this morning. And, oh, my God, what a paragraph, because this is so me. The consequences, how I can't think of the consequences of what happens when I start entertaining food or food behaviors. That it is. It's totally a self-will thing, and I completely forget that I am unable because my mind, in my own words, tell me that it's going to be okay. The supplant is like a prop that just don't worry about it. Just do what you need to do and then worry about it the next day. And my hand is burnt. I mean, I've got those little round things on my fingers because I couldn't take my hand off the stove. I can do that anywhere else in my life, but when it comes to food or behaviors, I am totally rendered powerless, and the only way out is to find a higher power to help me to do that. And I never understood that in this program. I really thought, okay, it's a diet with group support, and I understand this God thing, and when I choose to use it, it'll work, but I have to get to the root of the problem, right? The root of the problem is that I do have a forgetter. I have that expiration date that just makes me be wonky. So every day I need to connect and ask God to help me with my wonkiness and make that pause to turn and look another way. When I get so planted, it is those threadbare ideas of that I can handle it myself, and then the humiliation of having to figure out that I can't. That alone should keep me from the food, but I get supplanted every time with that thought that I can control it. Today, God is my master. God is my controller. He'll take care of me if I just give him an opportunity to do that. And it starts with turning my will and my life over to him instead of being my own willful self. So today, I'm hoping not to be supplanted. I'm hoping to be able to help other people not get supplanted. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Nancy C. from Michigan. Next we have Rivka R., followed by Monica T. Go ahead, Rivka.
Hi. Thanks so much, Tina, for your service, and Bonnie and everyone for the amazing shares. It's Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore, Maryland. So this time, we shall handle it like other people. So actually, I never had that idea. Because I was never able to handle it, even as a four-year-old. Like, I couldn't eat just one bowl of cereal. Like, I had to have four bowls of cereal. Like, I didn't know how other people handled themselves. Like, I either knew dieting or binging. You know, and now I realize, like, you know, what normal people call dieting is, you know, what normal people call eating is what I call dieting. I mean, I never understood, like, serving sizes, like, you know, half a cup. Like, who eats half a cup? Babies eat half a cup. My serving sizes were eat until stuffed. I mean, that's how I lived. And I either knew, you know, restriction, which I just was like holding my head underwater, and I'd have to come up and breathe and, you know, eat until stuffed, you know, or eating until stuffed. So, you know, and the certain consequences, you know, obviously never crowded into my mind. It couldn't crowd into my mind because the obsession was so complete. Like, all I knew was, I need this, and I need it now. And if I don't get it, I'm going to die. I can't live. And it wasn't that I wanted to stop eating. Like, it was never about stopping eating. Like, I didn't want to stop eating. I just wanted to be thin. You know, so I think my threadbare idea was, tomorrow I'll get myself together and do what I have to be thin. I mean, that was always the idea, over and over and over again. Okay, I'll just eat this now because I have no other choice. There's no other choice but to eat this. And it didn't even matter anything about, you know, how I would feel or what would happen or anything. It just wasn't part of reality at that moment. The reality was only, I got to get this in my mouth right now. As crazy as it was, I didn't even see it as abnormal because it was just what I had to do. And then tomorrow I'll get myself together and do what I have to be thin. I had no clue what that meant and that my whole psyche was going to change. And, you know, from, you know, oh, you know, that looks good. I'll feel good if I eat that. You know, I'll feel good if I have more. And then I don't, and I feel worse. But that reality never crowded into my mind, you know. And then to know that there, to be out of that merciless obsession. I mean, it's just, it is a new world. It is coming into an awareness with God awareness instead of self-centered, you know, awareness of it's a whole new universe. It's a whole new world. Of, you know, yeah, that can look good, but you know what? You know, I'm not going to feel good if I eat.
Gentle reminder.
Okay, thanks so much. I'll end with this. It's recovery is just a whole new world, and I'm so grateful and so grateful to be here. So I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Rivka R. from Maryland. Next, we have Monica T. followed by Sherry B. Please share, Monica.
Good morning, Tina. Oh, and thanks, everyone. Wow, the shares this morning. Hey, I'm Monica T. and I am from Florida, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Wow. All right, so we're in the chapter, There is a Solution. But Bill is not telling us any solution. Yeah, he is laying everything out on the table here, Monica. You got eyeballs. You better see this stuff and hopefully hear things here. Because this was my history for many, many years. I was in my early 50s when I came into OA. You know, the consequences, the results, don't crowd my mind. Well, you know what? I need to understand here. My thinking is the problem, not the food. It's my thinking that's the problem. Why is that? One, my mind will tell me a lie every single time. It is a lie, and I believe it. And the other thing is I have no memory of the consequences or the resolutions I have made. You know, wake up every morning. Yeah, I'm going to be good today. I'm going to follow my plan today. Da, 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 da. Walk in the kitchen and start eating. So I can't trust anything this little brain of mine has to say. And then as the thoughts occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted, readily replaced. You know, if there's a hazy little thought that comes into my brain, the obsession is so powerful, it's going to kick that little thought to the curb in no time at all. The obsession is so powerful, other thoughts may not even be able to come in. And, you know, there were also thoughts towards the end. It wasn't only this time it'll be different. I would just restart tomorrow. It was, I don't care. I want it, and I want it now. I know there's going to be consequences. But I want it. Whoa. You know, and the only thing power more powerful than all of this is a power greater than me. You know, I'm screwed here. My mind is the problem. And I think I'll handle, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, maybe I'm going to sleep on that magic pillow tonight. And tomorrow morning I'll wake up and I'm going to be able to do everything I've been trying to do for 50 years. And it's not worked. Then there's a complete failure of the kind of defense. Complete failure. That's what really struck out at me this morning. Complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on the hot stove. You know, I have memories of a little girl somewhere along the line of touching the hot stove. Well, let me tell you, I'm 73 years old now, and I have never intentionally stuck my hand on a hot stove to see whether it would burn me this time, or my elbow, or whatever. I'm the real deal. And with that,
as a reminder,
shall pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Monica T. from Florida. Next, we have Sherry B. or D. and then Sally A. Please share, Sherry, and let us know where you're calling from.
Yes, good morning, Tina. Thank you so much for your service. It's Sherry D. is in Divine, calling in Maryland. So very grateful to be on the line. What amazing shares. So let me tell you, I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. So this morning, as soon as I woke up, before my ego had a chance to raise its ugly head, I rolled out of bed onto my knees, third step prayer, seventh step prayer. I took care of my animals and I spent time in prayer and meditation. And so that's like a good start to the day in connecting with my higher power. And I get on this vision meeting, which I love. I love every single one of you. The messages are so amazing. And I'm listening to the paragraph being read and the shares coming through. And there's this little voice that says, oh, yeah, it's an allergy. Hey, did you know that some allergies, what the way that you treat them is to put a little bit of that thing that you're allergic to into your body. And then you build up a, and I was like, hold on just a second. Where is this coming from? I don't know about you guys, but I suffer from a disease that is cunning, baffling, powerful, patient, and persistent. Where the heck did that thought come from? That thought came from my disease. So I connected to my higher power, was like, give me the strength to walk through this. So, okay, so with the hot stove, maybe what I should do is just keep touching it over and over again and build up that scar tissue, build it up to the point that it's calloused and mangled, and then I won't feel it anymore? Is that what you're trying to tell me? No. I do suffer from a disease that is cunning, baffling, powerful, patient, persistent. I have a broken brain. I have a broken bridge. I don't remember these things as it's been shared. Don't remember what happened yesterday, a week ago, a month ago, when I'm in my disease, when I'm in my food, my alcohol, my drugs. I have no mental defense. I have to be connected to a power greater than myself and greater than my disease, so I can sit with my higher power and revisit that thought that my disease threw at me and said, yeah, that's not going to work on me today. I'm grateful to be here, grateful to be abstinent, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Sherry D. from Maryland. And before we hear from Sally, if you come on a little late, let me let you know where we're reading from. We're reading from page 24. There is a solution, the second paragraph, the almost certain consequences that follow, through one paragraph ending with keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove, and comments on that one paragraph. Okay, before we take another list, please share with us, Sally.
Good morning, everyone. Sally A. in Dallas. And so happy to be here. Man, the shares this morning have been so powerful. I'd like to speak to the newcomer, because I'm always a newcomer. Every day I'm starting over, because we have one day, all of us have one day at a time. So you hear us talking about this, putting our hand on a hot flame. And it's like, what are they talking about? What's this, you know, with the hot flame? And I just really want to get down to that and try to remember myself what it was like that first time, not just coming to a meeting, but seeing these words. And for me, the important thing here is we don't have a memory for what happened a month ago. Unfortunately, it is a mental illness. I hate to put it so strongly, but in a lot of ways, it was a relief for me to understand that this didn't start with the food. This started with what was going on in my head. And the fact that I do have a built-in forgetter, that is part of what's going on in my mind. I remember when I first found out that food was the solution for me to get rid of all of my stress in my life, that food was what I ran to anesthetize myself, like an alcoholic, like a drug addict. And, you know, when I heard a lot of people share, and I couldn't understand, what are they talking about? Where's the diet? I remember finally the connection that this all starts with me having a mental obsession, which I kind of knew was going on, but I could never put my finger on it. I remember thinking all the time, if I could just figure out, what is this? What makes me different than my sisters? What makes me different at the holidays that makes me constantly think, how can I have more and not look like this food addict? Because I knew that that was not healthy thinking. And so when we see these words as if we're putting our hand on a hot stove, it's because we don't remember. And we actually will do it over and over. We will turn to the food, because down deep, the food is the solution for my life, for my inability to face my life. So I turn to the food to anesthetize. And I just want to end with talking about chasing the dragon. That's a term that they use for drug addicts. They're looking to reach a threshold where they no longer feel the pain of life. And that's
reminder.
What we're doing. Thank you so much. That's what we're doing as well. We're trying to reach the threshold of intoxication from the food, that feeling of, So I hope that helps someone this morning. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks so much, Sally A. from New York. And before we take another list, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience. If you've shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back. And who else would like to share?
Virginia?
Lynn S.
Virginia?
Grace B.
Virginia?
Somebody from C from Virginia?
Melissa
C.
Lynn S.
Grace
B.
Grace B from Illinois.
Vasa, who from Illinois?
Joyce B.
Who?
Joyce B.
Joyce? Okay, let's stop there. Who was from Virginia? Was that Troy C? Or?
No, that was Virginia from Texas.
No, I have somebody from Virginia.
It was,
did I have somebody from Virginia?
No,
University?
No. It was Virginia.
I got Virginia.
Texas.
I got Virginia. Okay,
you.
I got Virginia.
Roy
yeah.
Virginia.
Was there anybody? Virginia. Who's from C? Whose last initial was C? Nobody with the last initial C? Roy C. Okay. All right. Let's stop there. Thank you so much, Leah. All right. We've got Virginia from Texas, Lynn S., Roy C., Melissa C., Leah S., Vasa O., and Joyce B. Not sure if we'll get to everybody, but let's get started. Virginia from Texas, please share with us.
Thank you. It's Virginia T. from Texas. Thank you very much. I was surprised when I was listening to the reading and the shares this morning. I was struck by a memory I hadn't had in years, and that was in my college days, my mother worked in the school system, and apparently they were, anyway, somebody brought her a little doggy that they had found in a, and she brought this dog home, and I happened to be there, and of course the dog was basically feral, I guess, and I remember giving it a bath, because it was nasty, right? And I didn't think much of the dog. But I came back, I was going to school, so when I came back after the semester, the dog had become this beautiful Afghan hound, and I mean gorgeous. And I was, you know, oh wow, this is a dog that I want now. But the point was, whenever we fed the dog, it was had a voracious appetite. It would gobble its food like the food was never going to be there till the end of the meal. And every time I saw the dog, that's the way it ate. Taking big bites and big chunks out of the food, taking 2 seconds to eat the whole thing. And no matter how beautiful the dog was or how well kept it was and the fact that it had meal every day, that's still the way the dog ate. And if that's not me, I don't know. Because no matter what I say to myself, no matter what I've prayed about, I will still believe that I can eat normally, like other people, whatever normal is, because I don't know how it is. And it's worse when I get a little abstinence, because now I'm sure I know what's going on, right? And I can take a little bit. So I have to keep in prayer, keep in contact with my higher power. Because like it says, I forget I can't overeat. I think that I'm not going to overeat. I'm just going to have one little bit more, just a little bit more. And every meal, that's the same way. I look at my food that I have prepared for my meal, and I think, oh, this is too much food. I could never eat all this. And then after I've eaten it, I always say, is that all? And why does that happen every meal? But my brain is insane. So thank you for this program because it helps me arrest my disease. God can take me through that thought.
Gentle reminder.
That I want more. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Virginia from Texas. What was the initial of your last name, first initial?
T. T, as in tall.
I couldn't understand. Okay. And next we have Lynn S.
T.
Thank you. Lynn S. followed by Roy C. Please share, Lynn. Got you. Thanks, Virginia. Please share, Lynn.
Good morning, Tina. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I was sitting here thinking about this, and I was going back to my relapse. And I was thinking, what was I thinking? That's what I was thinking. What really was I thinking? Because it always just comes up to me what my thought is I don't care. I don't care. I'm going for the food. I don't care. And it's not, you know, it's not that if anything did bother me, it's not the weight gain if I gain weight, or it's not being fat, or it's not, you know, the food turns on me or anything like that, because I don't have that experience. I love every single mouthful. And it doesn't just last for 30 seconds or something like that. Because I remember lying on the couch once and I was, my hand, you know, hand to mouth, binging. Thought, I wonder how long it is between binges, you know, like, what is it? And finally, the hand went down. Then it came up again, and I went, oh, 15 minutes. You're binging every 15 minutes. Okay, like, I don't care. The food is great. The food is always great. But what I forget is the pain of my own head. I cannot stand living in my head when I'm in the food. And I forget how painful that is. And the mental torture, not about the food and what are you doing to yourself and look at you're going to gain weight and all that stuff. It's not that. It's what are they thinking about me? What's happening? You know, I should have better control over work or this or that or the other thing, or, oh my gosh, I can't believe I put my foot in it again, or, you know, nobody likes me, or I can't get along with anybody, and fighting with everybody and fighting with myself. Oh my gosh, that's the worst. Fighting with me all the time over what am I thinking? What am I doing? It's a different kind of food thing. And I'm so blessed, like in the relapse that I did have, I didn't gain the weight back. How that ever happened, I don't know. Grace of God. But what I do know is the pain of the way I think when I am in food is what led me to the, I'm just going to eat for the next 6 weeks or so and then kill myself because I cannot stand to go back there again. And that's what I forget. And it just, it's coming to me now this morning listening to this. I am so grateful that we're reading this paragraph and it's finally sinking in what I forget. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lynn S. from Canada. Next, we have Roy C., followed by Melissa C. Please share, Roy, and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Roy C., and I'm calling from southern New Jersey. And shout out to my friend Troy C. down in Florida. I'm mixed up with all the time. Thanks for your service, and thanks for everybody for dialing in this morning and sharing. This is important stuff. It's powerful, baffling, food, and our habits with food are troublesome also. We need a higher power in the form of meetings, in the form of other people around us, in the form of a higher power that that we put our faith in and gives us power to be able to resist all those the hot stove and to keep your hand from it. It's a difficult thing to do a lot of the time, but I guess maybe in the end it's not so difficult. We just have to keep at it one day at a time. This is what I'm doing. And part of my plan for today was vision for you to be part of this and to share. And I feel better that that I've had a chance to be part of this. I'm going to pass, and thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Roy C. from New Jersey. Next, we have Melissa C., followed by Leah S. Please share, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Tina. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, when I read this, I think, you know, that line, like, that it doesn't crowd into the mind, that the consequences cannot crowd into the mind to deter me. And so it's like, okay, then it's like, what is my mind being crowded with? That it can't get in there, the thought of the consequences. They don't have space in my brain at those times, at certain times, right? Clearly it wasn't all the time because I was sometimes able to diet. But at certain times, the thought of eating would be the only thought that could exist in my mind. There was no space for anything else. And I think about, you know, there's a part in Bill's story where he says alcohol was his master. And that's for me, that's what this is. If food is my master, it is the only thought that I can contain in my mind. And so I'm, you know, trying to remember back, what would my mind be crowded with? And it was the specifics of how I was going to get what I was going to eat. Like, that was what I was figuring, calculating, perseverating, you know, reflecting on at those moments. Where was I going to go? What was I going to eat? You know, even the thoughts, the specific, like, flavors of the food, what it was. How am I going to get to that? You know, for me, it was like always those dark parking lots. Which parking lot is the best? Which one do I feel most able to hide in, but I'm not that scared? Like, it has to be in the right part of town, but not too good a part of town, right? And those were the thoughts that crowded my mind. What did not occur, what could not get in my mind, was perhaps the obligations that I was ignoring in order to be in that parked, you know, car in the dark. That could not get in my mind. The consequences, you know, of my clothes not fitting. I mean, that was like a regular occurrence. And I think the thing with food is that it's not immediate. You know, like, you can, I mean, news alert, I was able to binge sometimes and still fit in my pants. But, of course, as the disease progressed, that didn't happen either. Those were the thoughts that could not crowd in my mind. The absolute certain consequences. And I think, you know, this is the definition of, like, true powerlessness and unmanageability. Because I can know that something is harmful for me, but if I can't call it with sufficient force to impact my behavior, I'm in serious trouble. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Melissa C. from New York. Next, we have Leah S., followed by Vasa O. Please share, Leah.
Good morning. Thank you so much, everyone, for this beautiful meeting. My name is Leah S. I am recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. Okay. This big book is a study big book. And I go back to the doctor's opinion, where very, very in the beginning, they're telling me on page XXVIII, that's Roman numeral 28, and they're saying that the alcoholic will get rid of that. There will be freedom from craving of liquor. There will be freedom from the craving of the foods that I'm ingesting that are detrimental, that are really killing me. These foods that are killing me. I'm going to be free of those if I have a hospital procedure. What is a hospital procedure? They're going to the extreme. They're explaining that you just got to get rid of those foods that are inducing that craving. And then again, you know, I really want to give up and I want to put my hand on that hot stove. What is that hot stove? It's like a parable, you know. You're going to get hurt again and again. Jim is just going to go right in front of that car and he's going to get hurt again. The truck is not going to hit him so bad. What am I doing? Pain upon pain upon pain. Which kind of pain do you really want? Something that is slowly going to leave you? Because this book is taking you through the 12 steps, and the pain is getting less and less. And the freedom from that is just making something happen to me that is so like euphoria. It's like I look forward to each day. I look forward to going out. I look forward to doing this or that, which I did not do while I was in the food. And I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go, and you know, with God's help, it just does work. And we have an excellent, wonderful, wonderful fellowship. And we have these wonderful meetings. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks so much, Leah S. from New York. We have about 4 minutes. So, Voss, if you take two, then we can leave two for Joyce. Please share,
Voss. Just time. Just time me, please. And good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you, Tina, for your service. And I'm calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. There was nothing more that I wanted when I came to the program than to lose the weight and be thin. And I was also beginning to develop physical problems. So the consequence of my eating disorder was I'm going to get sick. It's going to kill me if I continue doing what I was doing. And I'm grateful that somebody gave me the big book, and I read it from the beginning to the end, not in one day, but gradually, you know, learned about the food addiction and the doctor's opinion about the allergy, which I had no clue or no understanding, and about the mental obsession, I understood because, yeah, I always wanted to go back. No matter what I tried, I'd go back. Back and forth. So I'm grateful for the big book, and I'm grateful for the 12 steps. And I love the slogans too, because once I put, number one, I had to put the food down. I needed to find a power greater than myself, and I was ready and willing to do that. And I remember saying, I will do whatever you want me to do, I will do whatever. I just don't want to die. And I did become abstinent right from the beginning. It is by the grace of God. I'm not saying it was easy. Who wanted to give those alcoholic foods? I thought I'd die without them. But then being abstinent, I also started using the tools. Easy does it, first thing first, live and let live. But for the grace of God, I mean, there's so many slogans here. Turn it over, keep an open mind, don't quit, surrender. Go for it. They helped me, the slogans. And yes, recoil from like hot flame. And I didn't want to go back to those alcoholic foods.
Gentle reminder.
I used it a lot at the beginning, and I still do it, but use it not as often. And I thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Boss O, currently in Florida. Okay, Joyce, you got about a minute and a half. You want to share with that, or do you want to wait for the second hour?
I'll share. Thank you, Tina. Good morning, everyone.
Sure.
I love this last sentence, the complete failure, keep putting the hand on the hot stove. I think of someone with leprosy. I think that's what I had when it came to food. I would put my hand on that hot stove over and over and over again. I could not stop. I didn't feel the pain in my hand until I was done with the binge, and then the mental obsession, the agony I felt in my mind, my spirit, my heart, it was almost too much to bear. But then I would put my hand on that hot stove again over and over, because I had a mental obsession. I had a mental disease. I couldn't stop, and I had needed that power greater than myself. And until I found that power, I kept doing it. But once I found that power, I had the power to take my hand off that stove, to eat nutritious, healthy foods in my body and deal with the problem in my life, which the real problem in my life was my inability to accept life on life's terms. That's where my problem was. Until I was able to address that through God's help, I just kept doing what I was doing. So I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that I have this disease, because it leads me to the power greater than myself. Thanks for letting me share. Joyce from Illinois, Joyce B. And thank you, Tina.
Thanks so much, Joyce B. from Illinois. Okay, thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And today's share ID, March the 12th, 2026, is 23,279. That's 23279. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Benita L., we read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Vanita L. in Georgia, recovered compulsive overeater. Yes, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.